Thanks, Kevin, and thanks to Mayor Atkinson too for that welcome. As Kevin said, we think it is pretty unique. 1,000 visitors from 16 countries. Very rarely happens in any walk of life, but it's Australian footy that's bringing them here, and we hope that we can help deliver and work with you guys and your partners to deliver a great event. So,
can you get India?
We're hoping to get India. we've named 16 countries and we're hoping to get India. So
I'd love to get India. Just imagine in 10 years' time we're playing an AFL game for 4 points at Mumbai. Shane Warne's calling it. Love to see that.
We're going to need to do something with the cricket fans. We're happy to take some questions now or afterwards as we maybe enjoy a cup of tea. An opportunity to speak particularly to Kevin about this, but as we said, we're very, very excited. 150 years old this game next year, and we've got 16 countries coming to help us celebrate. So, over to you for any questions.
Ladies first. Yes, I gotcha.
How much is this going to cost AFL to hold? What
are you expecting? The AFL's investing next year in excess of about $3 million as a one-off in celebrating 150 years. This event is a pretty significant portion of that. We're just finalising at the moment, but as Kevin said, one of the things that does occur, we want to be seen as great hosts of the country, but they do, in addition to what we provide by way of grants and subsidies, they do raise significant money to come out. The AFL at the moment is investing about $2 million a year in international development. And just to put that in perspective, we're spending about $35, $36 million in Australia. So we've still got a fair way to go to actually raise our level of investment. And I think it comes off the back of events like this, which start to capture the imagination of the people who make decisions about funding. But when you look at it, I guess this game, you're still very young. You talk to the people who are coming, and I think they've got a lot to teach you when they do come about their own sports, and at 150 years old. We have taken some time to expand across Australia. That's been our priority. But now we look at the participation rates that are emerging, 34,000 players around the world, and we say, well, there's an opportunity to work on, so we will invest in it.
So we should, really. There's a new fort being built over in Florida, is that correct?
That's right.
And the fort is really the first ever cricket ground the size of an AFL ground in Fort Lauderdale in Florida. It's just about to finish right now, and it's probably the best opportunity for us to play AFL standard grounds on international soil. David and I met with the mayor 4 years ago, and he said this ground is a very serious opportunity for cricket and Australian football. It's just about finished now, and it's at a place called Fort Lauderdale. It's the same size, just about as MCG length, and that was the discussion we had that morning. And Florida has 17.5 million people. So it also has some footy teams and junior development squads working. So there's a serious little development happening over there. And a lot of people here will come.
I think the other point on the investment is that the AFL Commission identifies itself as the keeper of the code. If we don't invest significant money in our own development, then nobody else will. So we look at it not as an obligation, something to be excited by. And I think one of the things you guys should get very involved in when the countries come out is to understand the story behind each country. Each of them is unique. You've got Denmark, where 10 years ago a homesick Australian put an ad in a paper inviting anyone who was reading to come and have a kick of the footy in the local park, and a New Zealander and a Dane turned up, and 10 years later there's a 9-team competition. And you've got South Africa, where a talented young soccer player applied for a football scholarship with Sturt in Adelaide, thinking it was soccer. 5 minutes into his interview, both parties realised they were talking about different games, and by the end of this year there'll be 8,000 players in South Africa. So, you know, I think, as the Mayor mentioned too, I mean, we'd love to work with you on ways in which these countries might actually offer some sort of educational and cultural experience to the town, particularly through schools, but they're very unique stories.
I think the game in Darwin this year probably enlightened Australian people that these kids from South Africa can play, they get the pretty good score on the start before we play for some more. So that was a fairly good, left an impression on all of us that we won't be wasting our time.
Kevin, we see the kids coming out of Ireland now playing AFL like young Clark and Collingwood and that. Do you expect in the future to see kids come out of these countries to come over here and play professionally?
Oh, I would think so. Yeah. I mean, look, let's face it, you know, we're 21 million people in this country, and the population opportunities that we can really, you know, invest some time into. Obviously, we need a sense of coaches over there to make sure we coach the coaches correctly. Look, I would have thought that it took a long time to get Jim Steins, but it hasn't taken that much longer since we found a champion for Sydney Swans. All of a sudden, it's been another six. So that's how quick, like a wave, but a wave hits, and opportunities open up for other countries to see maybe I've got a chance in Australia. And our immigration policies are looking at some of the people that tell all this life. So maybe they don't see that as a great opportunity. And we present that opportunity in sport, not just in skilled labour and so forth. So we have to really make sure that we're on the right wavelength in our game of Australian football. Because, as I said, 20 years is going to go very quick. And are we positioned? Are we really positioned to get all these talented players? You pick up an article in yesterday's paper. And, you know, the most exciting kid in the country is a Fijian boy living in Perth. You know, basically 6 foot 8. I can't see 6 or 8 people in the PG when I go there, but I'm there's a gold nugget already here, isn't it? Amazing.
We've also introduced recently an international scholarship list for AFL clubs in the last 12 months to really create a mechanism. It might take a few years to see some players come through, and I don't think you'll see next year necessarily any talent that's going to be readily available in the next few years for AFL clubs, but it will happen because we've introduced a list, an international scholarship list, so it's outside of your primary and rookie list that enables an AFL club to start to sign young talented international kids and give them an opportunity. And I think what we're seeing in South Africa is a real generational approach. The government over there has identified it as the sport for the new South Africa. There's cricket grounds everywhere, there's 46 million people, proximity to Perth, very athletic people. And also we know the history well of that country, where very much some of the mainstream sports have been exclusively for white South Africa historically. So we think this game's got an opportunity. And I mentioned to Kevin on the way here that some of these international people help you think with fresh eyes about your own game, because over there when we asked them why is it growing so rapidly, they just simply said, well, the head coach told us that it's the most spectacular game on earth. And I think if you follow the kind of footy, you agree with that sentiment.
Kevin, how would you rate the standard of football, for example, in the US, compared to, say, football in Victoria in major leagues? Or?
I probably would think that from the Carmelo, I just left somewhere in about 15 radio. And I reckon that's pretty good, because I've met a lot of my friends who play Dean Gray Evans. I remember when I was coaching him, I took a bloke, a player, Mullen, C-grade Amherst to Victoria. It's amazing what they're in the size of. A lot of players play out of football, but use business crews ahead of them so they can't train them with the professional training that you need, but the skill and ability is very good. The most difficult skill, actually, then, is probably still just a little bit of robotic in the kicking, but Tom will get that right.